I have a subject that I want to talk about. Is Christ coming in the storm? Christ coming in the storm. I go to the Bible and I find an incident where Matthew and Mark and John gave the account of where his disciples were in a storm and Jesus came. And he wasn't there when the storm struck, but he got there. There's a song that says he may not come when you call him, but he'll get there just in time. He didn't come when Lazarus died and when they called him, but he got there just in time. And as you go all through the Word of God, he didn't come when Israel first called on him in Egypt, but he got there just in time. And how many believe when he does come, things really change and things happen? There's been many a person sick and they prayed a long time, but when finally, he may not come the first time you call him, but when he arrives, things happen real quick. Now, I want to call your attention to these three incidents. I'll not read but something from Mark and John. The one in Matthew, I will leave it out. It covers practically the same thing. But there's a few little things are different in John and in Mark. One remembers to tell you a few things that happened, while the other tells you some other things that happened that John didn't tell you. Mark mentions it. And we want to read first in the book of Mark, beginning at the 46th verse. Jesus sent him away, and he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. And Jesus saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and he would have passed by them. And he would have passed by them. Now, I want to turn to another portion of Scripture in the book of John. It's the 6th chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. Or we'll start at about the 17th. It says, and he entered into the ship and went over to the other side toward Capernaum. This is the same incident that we just read to you in Mark, where Jesus went up to pray and they got in a ship and started over. And they was out in the midst of the sea, and the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came unto them walking upon the sea. And it says, they entered into a ship, and they came over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea rose by the reason of great wind, and it blew, so that they had to row about 25 and 30 furlongs. And they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing near to the ship. And they were afraid. I want to let us examine just a few things unusual about this whole incident. I'm going to make the statement that Jesus has dedicated himself to help mankind. He's known from his very first actions, he's always concerned about man, and especially if he's in a storm or if he is in trouble, he always comes to their aid. For instance, I'm making this statement that every human being here has already, no doubt, been through a storm. And some of you may be in a storm this morning, and we're hoping that we'll give the master a chance to calm some storms before we leave out the doors this morning. But if you have not had a storm, or you're not in one now, I got news for you. If you're going to heaven, you're going to get in one. Because God knows that if there's one thing mankind is going to go through, he's going to go through storms. Now, when I talk about storms, I'm talking about spiritual storms. You know, we have natural storms. We have when the wind begins to blow. But God takes these spiritual, tempestuous upheavals that men go through. Maybe your wife don't know what you're going through. But you know what you're going through. You know, one thing common in a storm, you usually lose control. Things are unusual. Things happen that don't happen normally at all times. And Jesus knows that if there's one thing the human race is going to do, the devil's going to see to it that you're going through a storm. I met the Lord in a storm. He came to me in a storm. I was out upon the sea of time, and my ship was being threatened by tempestuous waves, and the wind was contrary unto J.C. Hibbard, so much that just a week before, I leveled a shotgun to my head, went in and put a shell in it, and held it up to my head, and cocked the trigger, put my finger on it, and was pressing that trigger with it cocked with a loaded 12-gauge bullet in it, ready to blow my brain off, when God stepped on the scene and spared my life in that bathroom. And when I came to my senses and realized that I almost killed myself, I was lost in the clutches of the devil, but it was God that spoke to me and broke the spell. And when he did, I threw that gun in the corner and literally ran out that door and ran 3 blocks to a fruit stand, bought some bananas and stood there and ate them and refused to leave until someone came to the house. I was afraid to be with myself. Now, brother, at the age of 19, this little old ship was in a storm. And had not the God of heaven come down and spoke a word, and I remember it now, I can almost hear it. He broke the spell of Satan, or else I'd have been in hell right now. That was a storm. I've gone through many storms since, but thank God I had the assurance that the lover of men and the one that knows how to control every storm didn't fail me. He's never failed me. He always brought me through the storm. There was a woman caught in the act of adultery, brought before Christ. And they were standing with stones in their hand ready to thrust into her body and to burst her body open and break the ribs and to tear her body apart. And they had blood in their eyes. They had found God's word, and it backed them up that if a woman is caught in the act of adultery and will stone her to death, and here they had caught her, they tripped her, they planned on it, and they knew that she was a bad woman, and they walked in upon her purposely to bring her to Jesus. They wanted to see if he would carry out because of bitterness in their heart. They didn't like the way he was running things. He's too soft. And now they bring this woman, said the word of God said, if we catch him, we must stone him to death. We caught her in the very act. Now what would you say? Here we are ready to kill her. Now, Lord, what must we do? And that woman stood there. Not at a tea party. She had elders on both sides of her. She was now among Israelite people that believed in that book. And there the great crowd had gathered around. She was standing in the essence of holiness in the presence of Jesus. They have found her in the act of adultery. And they've come in and got her and they've brought her before. There's no way out. The Bible says I'm guilty of death. I've been caught in the act. And there's no hope. I want to ask you, do you think her little old boat was in a storm? You say, well, they ought to have killed her. That's when you're not in her boat. Brother, when you're in your kind of storm, you want the Lord to remember you. But I'm going to tell you, brother, her life was in a storm. Her little boat was being tossed. Looking at her 10 feet away, she looked just like any other normal woman that's full of fear. But on the inside, how many believe the master and the lover of humanity, he could see the belching waves that had been formed by the subtle planning of the devil was going to take a soul and send it out into eternity and go to hell. And Jesus stooped down and began to write and look at the eyes of those who held the stones. And he said, I want the man who has no sin and that have not broken a commandment. This woman has broke a commandment, but I want the one that has not broke a commandment. I want him to thrust the first stone into her side. So let him step forward that has not sinned, that has no sin, and let him throw it. And Jesus stood and looked at them, and one by one they dropped the rocks, and they went away. And Jesus was left there with that woman in that storm with her ship in a tempest. Brother, if you can put yourself and wrap yourself up in her hull, she was in a storm. She wondered what would take place next. She had reached a place in life that she had lost control. And that's usually what happens in a storm. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus said to her, woman, where's thine accusers? And she said, I have none. They're gone. And Jesus looked at her, and he calmed that storm by saying, woman, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He calmed the raging tempest, and she went away. And you could say to her, lady, do you believe that a person can have a storm going through life? She'll say, I just went through the most horrifying storm. For any moment, I expected to see the lights go out, my vision fail, my heart stop, and for me to plunge into the hell of hells. But one by the name of Jesus said to me, neither do I condemn thee. He works individually on every individual storm. Nobody here has the same type of storm the same way. But we get a lot of out of this little picture. The Lord goes in the mountain and he sends the disciples across the sea. They get in the boat and they start across. It is now even time, the book said. It is now even time. The sun is setting. It's drawing at the even time. And they thrust out in the sea. Now, what time was that? That was at the first watch, according to the Bible. Then there is a second watch, and then there is a third watch. The fourth watch is from 3 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock at daybreak. That's the fourth watch of the night. They only have four watches. But at the first watch, they thrust, got out in the ship and started out across the sea. Jesus went up in the mountain. He sent the multitudes away. And as they journeyed out in the sea, it says these words, it was now dark. It wasn't dark when they got in the ship and started out, but they got out in the sea. And I just read to you, it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. We were hoping some way that he would find a boat somewhere or come over here, but we don't know all the background, but we do know one thing. It said it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Now, at that particular time, it was pretty early. It could be the second watch, because it was no longer the first watch. The sun had already gone down, and it was now dark, so it could be the latter part of the second watch. But then immediately it says there arose a tempestuous wind, and the waves dashed high. And the Bible states that they were at their wits' end. That means that our brain refuses to try to imagine what we must do to come out of it. This is the end. And it says that the waters dashed up high, they were tossed up. One place describing it almost to the heavens and back down again. They were at their wits' end. And now they have toiled in rowing. I want you to notice these words. It said Jesus at 3 o'clock in the morning at the inky black deadly time of night. Jesus looks out on the sea and there is lightning and thunder and there's a storm raging at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's bad enough to be in a storm. I've been in storms in the daytime. How many has ever been in a storm in the daytime? Let me see your hand. Well, it's bad. You kind of quit doing what you're doing. If you're typing, you quit. If you're cooking, you quit. And no matter what you're doing, if you're driving, you quit. If it's a storm, brother, everybody stops what they're doing and they ride the storm out. If it's a bad storm. I've been in some bad ones. Brother, I've been in a storm at midnight. And I know what it is to be inky black dark that you can't see your hands ahead of you in water up to my stomach. Outside, tied on to a mama with 3 other kids tied on her, and daddy's gone. That daddy kind of was like Jesus. I was hoping he'd be there. But daddy had gone to provide a place at the Union Depot, 6 blocks from the house. And while he went, the whole end of the house blew out, and the whole thing went off. That was in the 1900 storm. No, 1915 storm. I'm getting way back. That was way before my life, my time. 1915 storm, the Galveston storm. All of you remember that. It's a great storm. Well, I was right down there, right off of the Gulf, and I was outside at midnight, tied to mama in water up to my stomach, and daddy was gone, and he didn't know where we were. He came back to find his kids, and the house was gone, and mama was gone, and the kids were gone, and he had a lantern, and I'll never forget. While the lightning was shining and displaying itself, we could see Dad with 2 other men coming and trying to force their way through the water and through the hurricane as we could hear trees swirling over our head. It was a horrible sight. But finally, Dad spotted us, and we tried to scream, but you couldn't. There's no whistle you could hear blow then. It was that terrible hurricane, and it was an awful sight. Everything was going in the wake of that storm. But Daddy spotted us. He came to us, and there we made our way secure to the Union Depot. We got in. We closed the door, and on the inside there was such a calm. And I'll never forget how wonderful it was. But friend, it's an awful thing to be in a storm at night. And let me say this. Every human being in this place, you have been through storms, or you're in one now, or you will go through them. When you go through a storm, it's a terrible thing to be out on the sea and realize that Jesus has not come to you. It's now dark and Jesus was not yet come. Now it says that while Christ was on the mountain, he looked down at the fourth watch of the night and he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. It was a couple of 3 hours rowing across to Capernaum. We've been there. We had supper at this place overlooking the same place where the disciples went across. Now, if you remember, sundown they got on the ship. Now, at 3 o'clock in the morning, they have not made any progress. Why? It says the winds were contrary to them. They could not row and make any heading. And they were helpless as the great waves begin to dash among them. And in that helpless state, why didn't Jesus come earlier? Because now from the time of sundown until 3 o'clock in the morning, that's several hours. They've had a long time, but they're out there in the midst of the sea and they can't get any further on. And this is a picture, my friend, of every human being as we go through this life. We have 2 storm incidents. One where Jesus was in the ship and the storm was on. And they called on him. He was already there, and he rose and rebuked the sea. The other is where they were out on life's sea, and Jesus came to them. Now, there's a lot of people, they're in the storms, and they've never invited Christ to come in and to take charge of the storm. And they waited too long, or waited an awful long time, to call on the Lord. But my story today is the ones that where Jesus looked down at the fourth watch of the night. Many hours had passed by, but he wanted them to know they really needed him. And at the fourth watch of the night, it said Jesus came unto them, walking on the sea. I wished I had an hour to talk about that word, it is now dark. And Jesus was not come to them. You know, most of the time, we go along and we have our day experiences. But sometimes we enter into periods of darkness. And the Bible states that the world is always in darkness. We are children of the day, not of night, nor of darkness. The unregenerate is in darkness. But here it describes, it says they were in darkness and Christ was not come. But then to be in darkness, and then right after that, the storm struck, and they could not make any progress. It got greater and greater until finally they were at their wits' end. They were fearful. In a storm, I don't care how strong you are, you're quiet. You don't want to laugh. You're not wanting to tell those funny stories. You're just kind of wanting to ride the storm out. And this storm may be storms of illness, afflictions. It could be fears that nobody knows but you and your own soul. The fear, the torment that you're going through, and it amounts to a storm. Why? Because you can't control it. You can't control a storm. You lose control. And so it says Jesus saw him toiling and rowing. Now I want you to notice how impossible would it be in the natural to look out at several miles across a sea in an inky black night at 3 o'clock in the morning, because that's what time the book said it was, at about the third watch of the night. That's from 3 to 6. And it had just reached the third watch, the fourth watch of the night. Now, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. The storm was on. There was blackness everywhere, no light of the stars, and they'd given up all hope. And Jesus, when he arrived, it was right in the heart of the storm at its top of its raging. And Jesus saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto him. He not only saw them, he saw them in their toiling and rowing. You say, what does that mean? I'm asking you. How many believe there's one eye, only one? There's not a man on the face of the earth could be up there on that mountain or up there and look out several miles in that middle of that sea and see the disciples toiling and rowing. You wouldn't even be able, with thousands upon thousands of big waves, 12, 15 feet high, and that ship out there, that little ship trying to make its headway, you couldn't even see a ship. But it said the Lord not only saw the ship, he saw the ones in the ship. He saw the plight that they were in. They were toiling and they were rowing. What else? There were winds contrary to them. Brother, there's only one eye. No, not another eye on earth could do it. But there was one that could see it, and that was the eye of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can see you. He knows your ship. He knows the inward feeling. He knows your toiling and he knows your roaring. That means physical effort. You've done everything you can to try to bring the thing to the shore, but it's whipped you. You've come to your wit's end and you're needing help, brother, and the winds are contrary to you. Brother, when the forces of hell, the Bible calls them the wiles of the devil. And how many believe there are wiles to the devil, storms or something you don't see every day? Somebody will say, well, now, I'll see tomorrow 15 minutes after the storm. If I ever went to a place like that, brother, I'm going to tell you, I'd get me a ticket. If I was a sinner, I'd steal the money to get it. I wouldn't stay there till midnight if they said every day I'll see you 50 minutes after the storm. I don't want to be in a storm every day. Now, here's what I'm saying. A storm is something, it's not the normal course of life. I'm not expecting to have a storm Monday. Not expecting to go through another storm Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. I hope I go through many months and don't have a storm. But I have had storms. Storms are things that will come. They don't come all the time. So it is with spiritual storms. Some people kind of stay in a storm most of the time. But most of the time you coast along fine. But now and then you find your little ship is confronted with elements, with powers that you cannot control, and it reaches a state that you become panicky because you don't know. You're at your wit's end. That can be all kind of troubles. There's mamas and dads that have kids on dope and they don't know where they are or what they're getting into. I saw your daughter in a whorehouse and she's selling her body to men, and it's the God's truth. That mother goes into a storm. I gave birth to that baby. I prayed for that baby to serve God, but now her child. Don't tell me that children don't put you in a storm. But God can bring a peace to your storm. Individuals, how many are laying in a bed cot? They wake up just a teenager. Their nerves are gone. Their brain is shot. They've got to have a shot to get up and be able to walk. They've got to go out and make so much money. They're hooked on it. Hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands. Do you mean they have no storm? Brother, inside, you tell the truth. I've talked to them after they've shook the thing and after they've got off of it and God has delivered them. They'll say, Brother Hibbard, you talk about hell. I don't know what'll happen after death, but this life is hell when you're under bondage of dope. Did you hear what I said? You wake up one morning and your job is gone. Your wife is packing. You never dreamed, but now you're an alcoholic. Overnight, that one drink made you an alcoholic. And brother, you live with the fact I'm in a storm. Never quit it. Honey, I promise you, I'll never touch it, I'll never drink it. But as soon as the pressure, the winds are contrary, when all that system begins to react and the devil's power begins to tempt you, you'd steal, knock someone in the head, you'll do anything to get a fix. What are you? You're in a storm. You've lost control. You're needing someone to deliver you. Millions have been delivered. Homes broken. A note, you read it. Honey, I'm sorry. I don't love you anymore. I know this is a shock to you, but I have to tell you, I cannot live with you any longer. He sits down. He goes to pieces. His boat is in a storm. There's matrimonial storms. There's times when you're confused. There's times when people misunderstand you, and brother, that thing intensifies, and it becomes a storm to you. I don't know what kind of storm you're in, but I know one thing. There's a master of the sea, and he knows every individual body. And here's my point. Here's my point. Whatever the storm is, it said Jesus saw him, and he came walking to him on the ship. He looked, and they were fearful. They had lost their hope. And when he did, it said, and I read it to you just now, he came to them walking upon the sea at the fourth watch of the night, and he would have passed by them. Why didn't he go the other direction? Why didn't he go a mile down the lake or the sea? Why didn't he go up this way? Why did he head straight to the ones he loved and to the ones he saw rowing and toiling? The wind is contrary. Why did he go right to that ship and right alongside of it? where they could catch a real good glimpse and know who it was. But it said he came walking upon the sea, and he would have passed by them. But he didn't. Because when he got close to them, he said to them, "Children, fear not." And then it says they gladly received him into the ship. Oh, what would have caused him to have passed by? You say, maybe that's a misprint. Oh, no, my brother. God don't misprint anything. It said he would have passed by him. Oh, how it would have rended his heart for him to have gone on. And them just stood and looked at him. "Children, peace be unto you." Them to just look. How many millions have done that? They found themselves in a church. The message was being given. The Holy Ghost was convicting. They had a storm. And they'd lost control. They needed someone to help. And the Lord gave the appeal. Presented himself to them. They closed up. Fight at your destination. I don't know how it happened, but this boy had a storm, brother, and I was at my wit's end. But when I put my hands up, I said, "Jesus," I called on him, and thank God he calmed the storm. And I found myself at my desired haven. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.
Unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of thy faith. Have not I told you these things would surely come? Yet I've invited, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So come to me. I've admonished you to cast your cares on me. Then why do you struggle with them? Why not commit thy ways unto the Lord and let thy thoughts be established? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him.